I got just a few scripture I want to read. Let's stand up. It's okay. You can stand up. This is not a Catholic church, but we can play like it is. We get some of them kneeling things and put on here if you want. See that flag, 1, 2, the second flag, see the one with the red dot on it? That's Japan. What's the very next one? Haiti. And boy, they lost, was it 400 or 600 people in this hurricane? And Mike's been there, and Donna's been there, and you know what it's like. In the best of times there, it's horrendous. So you can imagine with floods rolling down the street. And so, Lord God, and, you know, raw sewage flowing down the streets and stuff, all the disease that's going to try to get hold. Lord, we pray for Haiti right now, God. We pray for Haiti to cry out to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you allow shipments of supplies to get in there and unmolested by corrupt government in Jesus' name, God. Get things through supernaturally, God, to the people that need it, Lord God. And we bless them all. We bless Pastor Menace. His family's there. I don't know if his wife's there right now, but we pray your protecting angels, all the churches that we're able to support, God, and God, multiply the money and goods we send there 10,000-fold and let all the people be taken care of in Jesus' name. And we pray for the ones in Florida right now and South Carolina and whatever's going on in the states right now. We pray for rebuke the storm. Just go back out to sea somewhere and get lost in Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Y'all can sit down. I don't want y'all, and I don't think anybody here does. I think everybody here has great expectations for the youth. Do y'all have great expectations? I know Mary does because she's seen the little ones, the little, a lot smaller than you guys, ministering in the anointing, right? And the power of God coming down. We saw it at the ramp, didn't we? When y'all get in one accord and you figure out who you are in the Lord, see, there's nothing that'll stop you. You don't have all the crap that we have to take care of. You don't have house payments to take care of. You don't have car payments to take care of. All you got to take care of is your spiritual walk, really. And get your school. I know, that's important. But you guys can do anything you want right now. And this is the best time to jump on and do it. 1 Timothy 4. Y'all got your Bibles? You don't get a free Big Mac tonight then, okay. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Don't even have a phone one, huh? You can always fake people off with a phone. You can pull it up and act like you're reading it, can't you? The Spirit expressly says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That's in verse 1. But then skip down to verse 12. Let no one, and he's talking to Timothy, who was a young man, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So you guys have got gifts. Does any of y'all know, do any of y'all know what your gifting is? Spiritual gifting is? You need to find out. It'll make it stronger. It'll make you operate it with more confidence. Well, y'all do worship and praise. That's a gifting. That's a gifting. How many of y'all got mercy for people? You look at people that are hurting and you can look at them and go, wow, you know, I'd like to fix that. You do? I know you all lay hands on the sick and I watch them recover. I see that at youth group every Friday. So I know that's a gifting in all of you. So you've got some giftings. You need to discover what they are. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that you may progress, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So when you're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will save people. People will get saved by when they look at you and go, wow, I remember when you were da-da-da-da. I remember when you were doing the same junk I was, but look at you now. You're a shining light. You're a light in the darkness. You're a light in the darkness now. Amen? I remember when things were kind of dark for you not too long ago, weren't they? Was it last summer? And you were dreading going to school even because of the darkness. But you've got light on you, and I'm not picking on you, but I can look at you now and I see light instead of, you know, hopelessness. So God, I know a lot of teenagers feel hopeless, you know, they feel like they're in hopeless situations, but God can change all of that. He wants to. Okay, here's a good one. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Can you imagine a president of the United States 8 years old? I feel a lot better about that than right now, honestly. 8 years old. I want you to just wrap your head around. Who's 8 years old in here? Anybody? Seven? Come on up here a second. You're 7 years old? Are you serious? So in one more year, you could be queen. Really? You'll be about this much bigger, right? A queen at 8 years old. What's a queen? What's a king do? What's a queen do? They're not like the president. What do? They have unlimited authority. If Anna says, well, by golly, I think his head ought to come off, well, that's what would happen. And I know you wouldn't do that. You love your brother. You can go sit back down. But a king has unlimited authority. That's why it's called the kingdom of God. It's not called the democracy of God. People don't get to vote on what they want things to be like, do they? God said, this is the way it is. You know, it'd be good to have a king if you had a good king, wouldn't it? But boy, if you had a wicked one, shoo. So anyway, Josiah became king when he was 8 years old, and he reigned 31 years. So what's 31 and 8? 40, 39? Wow. So he reigned for, 31 years? And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, done lost it, didn't I? The 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images. They broke down the altars of Baal and the presence and the incense altars, and they were which were above them, he cut down. The wooden images, the carved images, the molded images, he broke into pieces. He made dust of them and scattered them on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. And, you know, just to make it sum that up, there was witchcraft. There was Satanism. There was idol worship. It was a wicked, 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 wicked place. And they went on the high places and they sacrificed things to Baal. They went up on the high places and they had these images carved. I won't tell you what the images were, but they were sexual. They were images and they worshiped these images. It kind of reminds me of pornography and everything on the internet. People literally worship sex. And that's not what God meant for it to be. God did not mean for things to get like that. But yet, here you are in a generation, and you're called generation, what's this generation called? I forget. Millennials. Y'all are called millennial generation. And you guys would be the least likely to reform this nation. because you've been exposed to all this stuff. You've grown up in this stuff. You've grown up in a cesspool. You've grown up in a disorder, a nation without order, a nation without laws. You've grown up with, if it feels good, do it. You've grown up with anything you want to do is okay, as long as you don't hurt somebody else. You've grown up being told there is no supreme law. There is no supreme God. You've been told all of these lies. But yet, I believe, like Josiah, you will rise up and you will tear down these altars. You will say, enough is enough. We're not going to bow to your devils no more. And that's what I see y'all doing. This political correctness is about to implode on itself. It's just about, people are just about ready to throw up on it because it's so foolish. Your human mind knows it's foolish. But you have to have the Spirit of God to walk in the power and the strength of the Lord and say, no, this far and no further. This was an 8-year-old boy. Well, he was, I guess, in his, what, 8th year of reign or 12th year of reign. He was growing in the Lord, wasn't he? I think it was in his 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places. The wooden images, like I told you about, the ungodly images, the carved images, the molded images. They broke down the altars of Baal in his presence of the incense altars. And they made a shambles of that stuff. They just burned it up. They destroyed it. They cut it down. They said, if you do this, if you worship, well, they took care of business, didn't they? Okay, Old Testament. Matthew 19. Little children were brought to Jesus that he might put his hands on them and pray. But his disciples rebuked them. What are you doing bothering the king? What are you doing bothering Jesus? Jesus has got important things to do. Jesus has got the kingdom of God to be concerned with. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You guys are of the kingdom of heaven. There's a reason for that. The kingdom of heaven, what? Suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. When I was growing up, there was a thing called the draft. Vietnam War was going on. Anybody remember that? It's the first time you could turn on the 6 o'clock news and see people getting killed and stuff in another country. Live, right in front of your eyes, you know. It was not a popular war, but they drafted people. You know what that meant? That meant, Chris, your number is 22, son. And your birthday is da-da-da, and these match up, and guess what? You're going to go serve your country in Asia. First, they're going to take you into this place called Army Barracks, and they're going to give you a nice haircut. And everybody had long hair back then, so I've seen videos of, you know, I was like, oh, my hair, you know. I used to have hair. I would have had hair like you guys, but it all went away. I would have kept it. But anyway, young people will do what they're told when they're trained right, won't they? They will. Older people tend to think more about the consequences. Take that hill. There's 700 machine guns up there. There's people with flamethrowers and mortars, and there's planes coming overhead, dropping missiles and stuff. It's like, take that hill. Oh, okay, rah! And a whole bunch of young people are running up that hill. There ain't no old people. There ain't no people my age running up that hill. They're standing down at the bottom going, take that hill. I'll be telling you guys to take that hill. And that's what I'm telling you right now. You got to take those high places back, man. You got to be who you are. You got to lay hands on the sick. You got to do what the gospel says. Is that true? I feel like I'm preaching to 1,000 people here. That's true. It is true. The only thing that will stop you from being something for Jesus is you. You're the only thing that can stop you. Well, praise the Lord. He's given us a free will, hasn't he? You guys are going to do the right thing. Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. So he laid hands on them. He gave them the anointing of the Holy Spirit so they could do more, I believe. So I think young people are bold. 1 Samuel 17:26, David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this uncircumcised Philistine?" Who was he talking about? Goliath, right? "And takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You know what happened? I think Goliath came out and said something like, "I'll cut your head off and feed you to the birds." And he cursed the God of Israel. And you know what the older people did? "Ooh, whoa, he's big. He's really big. He's 10 feet tall. We're not that stupid. Really." And then David comes in. He's been tending sheep out in the wilderness. He'd take a bear's head off. He'd take a lion's head off if it tried to take his sheep. He sang praises to the Lord because there wasn't nothing else to do but look up at the stars at night and praise the Lord. And that's what he'd been doing his whole life. Remember when Samuel came around and said, "I'm looking, God is going to anoint the next king out of this family right here. Bring all your sons out here and let me look at them." "Nope, it's not you. This is a good-looking boy, a big good-looking boy." "Nope, it's not you. It's not you. It's not you. It's not you. Don't you have another one?" I don't even remember how many brothers he had, 5 or 6. "Don't you have another one?" "Well, yeah, we got another one, but he's a scrubby little guy, and he's out taking care of sheep." He couldn't be the one. Think of the rejection. He didn't even get asked. His father didn't even mention he existed, right? Said, "Oh, go on out there and get David and bring him in here." He said, "Oh, he's the one. He's the one." And he anointed him with oil. Of course, it was a long time before he got to. Is that story better than the one I'm telling? That kills me, you know. It reminds me of Christmas story. The teacher's talking about, "Oh, it's a horrible thing y'all have done." And Ralphie's going. Just kidding, y'all. Matthew 18, "At this time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" So you guys are made up like the kingdom of heaven. I think because you don't have no pride. I think it's like you're almost reluctant to pray for people, right? Because you don't feel, do y'all ever feel like I'm really not, you know, I'm not adequate to be doing that? It's not a bad thing. You need to have confidence in yourself, but you know, you see some people and they get so into their self. It's like people really can't receive from them. It's almost like it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But young people, they have that purity. And they have that zeal and passion. And some examples, and then we'll get y'all up here, and y'all going to pray for folks, right? And we're going to see God answer the prayers, aren't we? And we're going to need catchers. Oh, yeah. You practiced that, didn't you? Mary, mother of Jesus, was a little girl. She was probably 14, 15 years old when God chose her to birth Jesus. John the Baptist, everybody else was around Mary and she was with child, which was Jesus. Everybody else was around her, and you didn't hear any account of anybody knowing anything strange was going on. And it said Elizabeth that was carrying John said when John got near baby, it said he leaped in the womb. He felt this little baby in the womb, felt the presence of God. He felt the anointing of God on Jesus and jumped. Like I say, nobody else did, but it was a little child that did. And y'all aren't little children. You're, what's the word? Adolescents. Teenagers. Jesus was teaching in the temple at what? 12 years old. That's when you can start a youth group. That's why we made up that rule. If Jesus could teach in the temple at 12, y'all can be in a youth group. Samuel heard the voice of the Holy Spirit when he was a little bitty boy. And Eli the priest was so dense and so religious, he couldn't hear the voice. But finally he figured out that Samuel was hearing the voice of the Most High God. So, Lord, we thank you for young people. I thank you they gave up their night. They could have been at Harvest Homecoming. They could have been doing all kinds of really, really time-wasting things, or they could be here. So I'm really thrilled that y'all are here. So, God, I thank you for your anointing. You want to come up and play? Or would you rather pray and put some music on? Doesn't matter to me, whichever you'd rather do. Okay. The key is for you guys to know who you are. Do you know who you are in Jesus? You know that you can do anything in Jesus' name. You know you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can, there's so many things. You can lay hands, the demons will leave and tremble if you lay hands on them with a pure heart. Pray for you first, okay? They get through praying with you. If it's something that's, something you can't talk to at young people, please let me know and I'd be glad to pray with you. But they would,